everybody, and welcome to Two Off the First for September the 23rd, 2022. I'm Ryan Balanji. Good to have you here with us. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort. As the name of the show implies, we have two things to talk about today. We're going to start with the President's Cup, and then we'll get into our second story for the day. So let's start President's Cup. I don't know if you watched it. Obviously, it's kind of my job to watch it. It was probably what you thought it was going to be if you didn't watch it. If you saw the matches lined up yesterday before anything started at 1 in the afternoon, or if you thought about it on Wednesday when the matches were announced and you went, you know, I wonder who's going to win all these matches, you probably would have figured the Americans would have easily won the session. And you might have figured that they were going to sweep the session. And I did a radio appearance with my friend Dave Schultz down in Mobile, Alabama. And I said the most likely, I could see a world where the Internationals could win the session. It's possible. But the most likely outcome is 4-1 United States. Well, that's what we got. And that 4-1 really probably should have been 5-0. And it probably shouldn't even lasted as long as it did. The first match having really set the tone for the day was Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. Again, they've won the Zurich Classic of New Orleans together this year. They are undefeated together in matches that I've seen them play. They took on Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama with Trevor Immelman thinking, you know, maybe I'll send out my strongest, most experienced pairing and they'll be the ones to stem the tide and make it reasonable even if they lose and it won't go so bad. Well, it went bad. It went really bad. Went by so bad that it was 6-5. It only went 13 holes. And that was kind of a mercy kill. They tied the first two holes, have tied, depending on which parlance you'd like to use. Then the Americans went on a run. They parred the third, parred the fourth to have, birdied the fifth, birdied the sixth, birdied the seventh. They were four up. They lost the eighth hole when finally the Internationals made a birdie. And that was it. It was the only hole they lost. They tied the rest or won the rest. And that was all she wrote. And that was such a thorough beatdown. It seemed like, okay, this is going to be a bad sweep. I mean, at one point, the Internationals were down in the birdie count something like 8-0. And an alternate shot, I mean, you might as well just stop playing. But fortunately, the other four matches became interesting in the end. The U.S. pretty much got up big in most of the matches, or at least relatively big in most of the matches, before the Internationals made a comeback right around the turn. So Spieth and Thomas played together. They were three up through six holes. Then the international team of Sun J.M. and Corey Connors won 7-9. They brought it down to one up, but they never took the lead. They never got it back to square. It kind of just stayed that way for a while until the United States won the 15th hole, and then they just kind of have their way into the house to win that match. Third match, Cam Young and Colin Morikawa won. Same margin, 2-1 over Tom Kim and Cage Lee. Pretty enjoyable match, to be honest. The Internationals actually took the lead to start. That was the first hole that they had won, was the second hole overall in this matchup. Then they won it with a par. And then the Americans struck right back, even the match. They took the lead on the sixth hole. Then they made the turn with a par to go two up on the ninth hole. And again, kind of same thing. Middle of the match, the Americans just kind of went blah. And the Internationals got it back to square with wins on 11 and 12. And then right away, United States wins the 13th hole. And they just kind of have their way in until the 17th hole. And they end it with a win there, which the putt from Cam Young to win it was phenomenal. It had to have been a 35-40, 45-footer, something like that, to put it away. It was quite impressive to see that putt go in. And it was 25 feet. Didn't seem as short, but it was not an easy putt. And it went in the hole. Cam Young looked like he thought he had won the whole time. He was annoyed that maybe he hadn't won it already. And then you got to the fourth match. World number one Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns combined world ranking of 13. Against Siwoo Kim and Cam Davis, the highest world combined world ranking in one of these matches, maybe ever, at least in recent memory. And the U.S. was in complete control, it seemed. They were two up after nine. They stayed two up until the 14th hole, and then lost the last four holes to wind up losing the match two down. Very, very surprising result, to be honest with you. I thought this was going to be one that the Americans were going to have no problem with, and this was the one that they lost. I thought the one that they would have the most trouble with, which they ultimately did get a good match here, but Tony Finau and Max Homa wound up winning one up over Taylor Pendrith and Mito Pereira. And I thought this match was pretty interesting as well because the Internationals did put up a fight. I mean, they were one down early. They lost the second hole, but they came back and squared it on the third. They got as many as two down. Then they won the eighth to get it one down. They tied it after the 13th hole. And then they just kind of had a little pillow fight on the way to the house. And then ultimately, somehow the Internationals made bogey on the final hole. And Max Homa cozied up his birdie putt for easy par. Conceded par, and that was it. So now it's 4-1, and on one hand you think, okay, that could have been worse. Could have been 5-0. Could have been 4.5 to 1/2. And this is a format the Americans have dominated in the President's Cup up until yesterday. They were plus 40 historically in this format, in the alternate shot format. Now they are plus 43. Today we've got four ball, so that's better ball. I don't know why we don't just use the colloquial terms, but it's better ball. So you got five matches of that today. That starts at 11:35 a.m. Eastern time. And they started that a little bit earlier because you have four players playing at once. So these matches will take longer instead of kind of a sort of tidy 4 hours, 4.5 hours. These are probably going to be 5.5 hour matches. So the coverage window is bigger, starts at 11 with some pregame stuff. I believe goes to about 6 o'clock today. So here are the matches for today. Going out first, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas against Adam Scott, Cam Davis. I think it's kind of interesting to put Cam Davis, who was probably the best player on the ground yesterday, with Adam Scott, one of his heroes, maybe a little inspirational thing. Scheffler Burns going out again. They take on Im and Munoz. You have to play one of these matches. So Munoz is slotted in here, allowing him to play his own game. Sun Jam's a great ball striker. Kind of makes sense to pair them together, just thinking, hey, you know, if Munoz doesn't play well, maybe Im can just kind of carry things for a while. Third match, Kevin Kisner, Cameron Young. Could not be two different players in terms of style. Kevin Kisner bunts it down the fairway, hits a good shot, makes a putt. It's really kind of annoying to play with in terms of match play. It's why he does so well in the WGC Dell Technologies match play. He's just annoying to lose to, and it builds up. It gets to you. Cameron Young is the exact opposite. Beat the ever-living hell out of the ball. Get the ball right to the pin. Make the putt. They're going to take on Mito Pereira, who wasn't bad yesterday, although the 18th is not his friend, apparently, in any major championship kind of context. And he's paired with Christian Bezuidenhout, who sat out yesterday. He's probably the shortest hitter in the field, other than Kevin Kisner, which, again, kind of makes sense from a pairing perspective. And they're going to play very different styles, Bezuidenhout and Pereira. So, again, contrasting styles, kind of hope that one works, and maybe they feed off of each other if both work. Match four, I think, is going to be really fun. This is probably, in fact, it is the marquee match. Cantlay, Shoffley, Zantlay, as I'd like to call him. They are taking on Hideki Matsuyama and Tom Kim. And I think Tom Kim's going to reinvigorate Hideki Matsuyama, who just looked awful yesterday. Looked like a guy who was lost, didn't want to play, knew he was going to get beat. You know, whatever kind of psychological issue he had yesterday, it did not translate into performance, translated poorly. I think the energy of Tom Kim, who was just fun to watch yesterday, going about the golf course, getting emotional, being interested in the outcome, even in defeat, but played well in a close match, think it will be helpful for Hideki. And then your anchor match, 12:35 p.m. Eastern time. Billy Horschel, who sat out yesterday, Max Homa, who played yesterday with Tony Finau, goes against the Canadian duo of Corey Connors and Taylor Pendrith, and I think that could be a fun one as well. I think the Canadians will be excited to play together, and they are obviously quite contrasting in styles. Again, Pendrith kind of being the bomber guy, Corey Connors kind of being the all-around, great ball-striking kind of guy. And we'll see if one can overpower the course and one can kind of hit great approach shots and just kind of wear the Americans down. So sitting for the United States is Tony Finau, who's sitting. And now I'm going to blank. I'm blank. But Kistner's back in after sitting out. And then after Bezuidenhout and Munoz sat yesterday, now you're going to take out of the equation Cage Lee and Siwoo Kim, who didn't really show up yesterday. I mean, he's using a broomstick putter in this thing. It's clear he's not feeling too confident about his game at this point. So we're at 4-1. The most likely outcome here is something closer to a split, I think. Maybe a 3-2 United States kind of thing. So we're probably looking at like 7-3 going to the weekend. Of course, there is the distinct possibility that the Americans just smoke the internationals yet again, either 4-1 or 5-0. It is still in play that the Americans can win this thing on Saturday. So if you look at the way this is laid out, 5 matches the first day, 5 matches the second day, 8 matches morning and afternoon session on Saturday. So there are 18 points available between the first 3 days of the competition. You need 15.5 to win. It is possible for the Americans to still win this thing by Saturday. I hope that doesn't happen, because I think that's officially the death knell of the President's Cup as we know it. And I don't want to see the internationals embarrassed like that. Frankly, I'm kind of pulling for the internationals at this point. I would like to see them make this a thing today, because it will just make the weekend more interesting. Frankly, it'll make the win more worth it if the Americans ultimately pull it off. But right now, if you looked at a betting market for who's expected to win this thing, the Americans are minus 2,000. Which means you have to bet $2,000 to get $100 paid back to you as your profit for the bet. The internationals are the opposite. They're plus 2,000, which means if you bet $100 on them to win and they somehow miraculously pulled this off, which by the way means winning 14.5 points out of the remaining 25 matches, is not crazy, but it's a lot. Then you would get a 20-1 reward. So you would get $2,000 plus your original 100 back. That's that implies some pretty strong odds, to be honest with you. It basically suggests there's no chance of this thing happening. So if you kind of look at what the American odds of this are, it's a 95% chance implied that the Americans are going to win this thing. The win probability chart pretty much shot to close to 100% right away yesterday. But in terms of the betting market, the implied odds here are that the United States are going to win this thing 95% of the time. Actually, 95.24% of the time. Closer to 96% of the time. So that's extremely unlikely the internationals to win from here. But hope springs eternal. Maybe something shows up in the first couple of matches, inspires the internationals, they go on some kind of run, everything works out, and we've got an even match going to the weekend. If that happens, that would be pretty incredible, but also extremely unlikely. So that's kind of is what it is. And I think there seems to be a growing call from what we talked about yesterday, even from yesterday, for there to be a mixed gender version of the President's Cup moving forward. And Rory McIlroy appeared on PGA Tour Radio on Sirius XM this morning. I did not hear the interview, so I will have to listen to it for total context of what he said. But he was on with Taylor Zarzer, who is the first tee announcer, actually, for the President's Cup. You'll know that voice when you hear it. That's who hosts their morning show. It's called The Starter, I think 7, 8 a.m.-ish. And he had McIlroy on the show, and McIlroy seemed to voice support for the integrated or mixed President's Cup. Paul McGinley, fellow Irishman, well, he's Northern Irish, but they play under the Irish flag in international team competition, suggested that he's on board with it. And this has been an idea that's been out there for years. I've heard it from other people. I've supported it multiple times, said things in shows like this one multiple times. I think Mike Clayton of Australia might have been the first one to kind of come out with that opinion. I think it's great. The interesting thing to me, not just that McIlroy is kind of on board now, because I mean, he's very thoughtful, and I think he understands the value of it, not only to the President's Cup, but also to women's professional golf. But that there was pushback from a couple of the folks on the show, like, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if we should be doing that. There, the kind of voiced reluctance, I guess, to bring the LPGA on strikes me as kind of weird. At this point, you've got a series that clearly doesn't work. It hasn't worked really ever. It has definitely not worked for 15 years. And it was sort of competitive from about 1998 to 2005. And then that went away. So after that point, it's basically been American domination, and there's been no reason to believe that the internationals are going to figure this thing out. Even with the changes inspired by Nick Price when he was captain several times, by the identity that Ernie Els helped to create in 2019 by creating the internationals logo and seemingly kind of rallying his guys around a one team concept instead of the internationals concept. Even though those things have been net positives, it's just really the world is not currently set up in terms of international golf where any team other than the Americans has much of a chance, the way it's currently constructed. Now, you could change things a little bit if you had peace with LIV Golf, I suppose, or if LIV Golf went away tomorrow, you could have that. And you could bring some of the South African players back, but guess what? They all got smoked by the Americans, too. So for anyone who's like, oh, man, I wonder if things have been different if Charles Schwartzel and Louis Oosthuizen would have been there. No, they got killed for years. They weren't going to make it any better. Cam Smith might have made a difference. He's one of the best golfers in the world. Obviously, one of the top three, according to the official World Golf Ranking. I'd say top two if you accounted for the entire year, if not number one. And that might have made a difference. Joaquin Niemann potentially could have made a difference, but not much. I think it's very hard to see a scenario where having one or two different players, especially thinking about the older ones that left for LIV that got smoked by the Americans for years, that wouldn't have made any difference. This is what's going to happen until such time that the kind of winds of change make Asia Pacific the focus of the golf world, and those players on the male side develop into world beaters and major champions on a bigger scale than they are now. And that day, I believe, is coming. But that day is also probably 10 to 20 years away. And this series cannot survive 10 to 20 more years of biennial American beatdowns. It's not going to happen. It's just not. So I think there has to be a genuine entertainment in this idea. And I threw out something yesterday on Twitter, just kind of for giggles, really. And some people kind of actually liked it. But if you're not going to introduce a mixed gender component to this, which I think is the answer, but if you're not going to do that, then make it super gambling friendly, basically. Make it more like a buddy trip where you can have presses and hammers and all this extra stuff for more points. Don't set it to 30 points. Let the players decide how many points it's played for. Let them challenge each other. Let things go crazy. There would be an inherent team drama component to it when some player got extra spicy with the hammers and the presses and they blow it for their team. And they run up so many presses and hammers and they lose them all. And all of a sudden, that point that could have been very easy for them, just one point and avoid stuff like presses and hammers, becomes like 7 points and they lose it and it turns the tide of the competition. That would be fascinating to me. Obviously, the PGA Tour is not going to do that. But it'd be really interesting if they could do that. And you might have my attention for that. Because then, in moments of frustration and emotion, some players might think, oh, we've got a press here. You could have auto presses if you wanted. But I think they'd have to be voluntary. You can have auto hammers in the air. You can have automatic presses for when balls go in the water. I mean, all kinds of stuff lines up to make it really interesting. And frankly, forcing players to be a little bit more aggressive. Because there are just more opportunities for points to be scored. So you can't just kind of lollygag your way through when you're dormy to the house. Well, now that all of a sudden you've got presses that are open and you've got to win those, or otherwise the match turns out to be even. And it could be really interesting. I think. That's just what I think. But maybe that's another thing for another day. Again, I think the ultimate answer from a professional golf standpoint of getting this thing where it needs to go is bringing in LPGA players, having 6 and 6 on both sides, and just kind of leveling things out. And you could come with a really fascinating format that I think a lot of people would love. We shall see what happens. The bloodbath may continue today. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully the internationals make this a thing going into the weekend and we have something worth watching on Saturday and Sunday. That's going to do it for us today on Two Off the First. I'm Ryan Ballengee. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. We will talk to you tomorrow.